I've spoken a bit about non-harming. About harming all harmful actions ever committed by us. As some of you know, in the precepts, the three grave precepts, the first we translate as vowing to be non-harming. Then the second is being good and doing good. The third is doing good for others, doing good and then doing good for others. Of course, in place of non-harming, we could sometimes use the word evil. Not to be evil, but of course evil is a very difficult word to make sense of in English. Non-harming, in a way, is easier in the way that there's a more immediate sense that we can sense if we're attentive how certain actions harm so-called ourselves or so-called others. So-called ourselves or so-called others. Unfortunately, we often make excuses for ourselves or for others. I did this with such and such. I did this because I believed, or because they did. One of the phrases that I would say even vows that is included in the form of a marriage ceremony that I use and that others use is we sometimes say, I vow to accept my mistakes without making excuses for them. Or I accept full responsibility for action and reaction, for motive and effect. Interesting way to phrase it. Harming evil. Dzogchen Zenji has a fascicle in the Shobogenzo, which is titled Sho Aku Makusa. Now, Sho Aku Makusa can be translated as refraining from all harming whatsoever, or refraining from all evil whatsoever, which is, again, another way to translate that phrase. Refraining from harming, refraining from evil. In a simple way, we could connect those two. Refraining from all harming. He begins, an ancient Buddha said, refraining from all harming, practice all that is good, purify your mind. This is the teaching of all the Buddhas. This precept, Dogen says, has been kept by all Buddhas and ancestors in the past and present, before and after the seven Buddhas. It has been handed down from Buddha to Buddha. It's not only the possession of the seven Buddhas, it is the teaching of all Buddhas. And yet we must, that's my paraphrase, we must clarify this principle. The Dharma way of all the seven Buddhas is the sum total of all their actions. This is an essential spirit in the continuous transmission, teaching, and bestowal. That spirit is the teaching of all Buddhas, practice, and enlightenment. This non-harming, or if you want to say evil, means the evil nature, Dogen says, of good, bad, and neutral. This non-harming means the evil nature of good, bad, and neutral. What does he mean by that? I wonder. Weaken one. Let's look at a slightly different translation. Among the three qualities of, quote, being good, being evil, and being neutral, which has to do with intention and actions and consequences, the either evil or harming, whichever way you translate the word, of which we are now speaking, has the quality of being harming. This quality of being harming is something that doesn't arise and perish as thoughts and things do. Although the qualities of being good and being neutral are also beyond arising, as well as being without stain and bearing the characteristics of the truth, these three, in each instance, are quite diverse in form and character. In a sense, he has a whole chapter here which goes on to discuss this makusa, which either we can speak of as harming, or we can speak of as evil, or we could speak of in different ways in the English word. But I think we are coming from a slightly different perspective when we use a word in English like evil rather than harming, because evil connects with a historical perspective in English of a Christian traditions and the complete opposite of so-called evil and so-called non-evil, which is why I prefer harming, especially in terms of our practice and our understanding. If we see Dogen in another area, he talks about, in a different fascicle, he talks about Buddha's deep compassion for sentient beings are neither for their own sake nor for others. It is just the nature of Buddha Dharma. Just the nature of Buddha Dharma. Observe how even animals nurture their offspring, even insects nurture their offspring. Enduring hardships in the process, they gain nothing from this, even when their offspring are grown. The deep compassion of small creatures for their young naturally resembles the compassion of all Buddhas for sentient beings. Naturally resembles the compassion. So what is this non-harming or non-evil which he's equating here with this compassion? That's something good for us to reflect on. Compassion. Compassion. Compassion literally means feeling along with. In other words, perceiving in the sense of feeling along with other beings, the results, the actions, and the results of the actions, whether it's in terms of words or physical actions. We know, or if we look closely, we could see how harmful actions, if we call it evil karma, results in suffering and harming in the ways that it manifests cause and effect. In a sense, it's being blinded by self-centeredness in our actions, in our intentions, in our habits, which fundamentally is because we misperceive who and what we are, and who and what others are, in a sense, what our life is. See, not seeing clearly cause and effect, we indulge in anger. Not seeing clearly, if you want to use a more fancy word, dependent origination. We take for granted that events have something to do with so-called others, and then bring to bear on that blame. Bring to bear on that our judgment of their failings, whether the others are individuals, sometimes even ourselves, but individuals, whether the others are so-called groups, or even sometimes, strangely enough, natural phenomena, if you could imagine getting angry at natural phenomena, and somehow we even manage that. At least I can say I've seen that arise. I don't know whether any of you would agree with that, but sometimes we even take so-called natural phenomena, of course. We exclude people from that because we very quickly add blame. We add on and get mixed up with things like inadequacy or failings of our own or that of others. Missing this cause and effect, that's the very fundamental aspect of Buddha's teaching, to bring our attention to the cause and effect nature of our life and the life of all beings who we are, if we say, with whom we share the universe, with whom we share our life. And then, of course, that missing cause and effect is further enhanced, connected to failing to see how we're caught up in self-centeredness, more self-centeredness, less self-centeredness, having to do with self-centeredness, so-called my own, or that which we attribute to others. Going back to refraining from evil, as he says in Shoaku Mokus, Makusa. Refraining from evil, refraining from harm, is the fundamental precept of Buddha's teaching. You could say harming is another side of the coin called caught in self-centered dream, holding to self-centered thoughts. The other side of that coin is naturally what we call harming. Or we could say it's the consequence of. Or we could say it's a natural outgrowth of. Because if we believe all sorts of self-centered dreams, we justify, or we are impelled by, or we live out those with little concern or ability to see our connectedness with all beings, to see the consequences, to keep us from being just this moment. When we are at one with greed and anger, confusions out of which we act, that's the very manifestation, the natural consequences of not noticing, not attending to the harming that is inherent in those self-centered actions. The harming, sometimes even so-called to ourself, if we say it. In fact, often, along with any, I'll say, secondary harming that comes for to others, is the primary harming, that anger, for instance, manifests in our life, and of course in the life of the whole universe that we're living. This is one aspect of this Shoaku Makusa, this fundamental teaching that comes naturally to us if we can be who we are, if we can live as who we are, being this experiencing. Because this experiencing isn't some personal thing. Don't think experiencing goes on inside you and is separate from everything so-called outside you. That kind of experiencing is self-centeredness. Experiencing is the whole universe experiencing, manifesting as your life. And your life isn't just inside this bag of skin and bones. If our life was just inside this bag of skin and bones, there would be no functioning. There'd be no oxygen, there'd be no food, there'd be no moisture, there'd be no sunlight. All of those are part of what makes our life. We and the sun and the wind and the oxygen and all the beings that are connected with those, which is all the beings above the earth, below the earth, in the sea, in the air, we all are this interconnected that we call my life, our life. That's why it's possible to speak of the natural compassion for beings that grows out of our practice. The natural compassion of beings that makes possible our practice. The natural compassion, if I say it another way, connectedness. With the trees, the insects, the birds, the wind, the sun. Despite the fact that we can easily explain that scientifically if we want to, but that we don't have to go in that direction. It comes out of, it's naturally connected as we practice. Otherwise, our practice is just some little thing inside this bag of skin and bones. That kind of practice, the Buddhas aren't teaching that. That's more self-centeredness despite all the accomplishments. And of course, self-centeredness keeps arising in our life. And we get to see what's skillful with it, what isn't. And that's the reason why regularly, all harmful actions ever committed by me since of old, so on and so forth, until now I acknowledge and am at one with them all. Unless we atone over and over and over and over, not for what I did between the last time I did atonement and now, but over and over. Atoning isn't trying to make something past good, but it's acknowledging who and what we always are, is being at one with the whole universe. Not because I'm creating that, but that's because I'm willing to, for a moment, recognize what's always so. That's what our practice is, recognizing what's always so. Being just this moment. And what's always so manifests in our hearing just hearing, seeing just seeing, breathing just breathing, cognizing just cognizing, as the Shakyamuni Buddha says to Bahia, as recorded in the Bahia Sutra. It's not becoming something other than what who we are, but being who we always are. That's our practice. So therefore we're able to atone. We're able to atone because we can be at one with all Buddhas and ancestors, with all beings who are nothing but the Buddhas and ancestors, nothing but our life. And because they're nothing but our life, they are not hindered, and yet caught in self-centered dreams, caught in beginningless greed, anger, and delusions of all sorts, which we discover keep arising for various reasons and keep blinding us when we don't see it. So we need to take good care in our practice, both formal and throughout our life, to notice how and where those are arising so that we can, so to speak, release them, so to speak, be this life as it is, which is just right here, being just this moment. Thank you all.